For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, June the 27th, 1981. Family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Frank Mendola is the teacher of the afternoon, and this is tape two of two tapes on breaking curses.
Praise God. What we're going to do, we're going to continue, because the subject of curses is too much to just conduct in one day. And the scriptures I'm going to use are just too much to keep flipping back and forth. I've written them on a board again. And for those who are listening to the cassette tape, I'll read them off. Deuteronomy 28, starting at verse 15. Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10. Exodus 20, verses 1 through 5. Numbers 21 and its corresponding and parallel scripture, 2 Kings 18, verses 1 through 4. Deuteronomy 4:40, and very important scripture, which we'll be using time and time again, Deuteronomy 7, verses 25 and 26. Isaiah 13, 19 through 20, and Isaiah 34, 9 through 17. What's in the Word of God should be a confirmation to any revelation that we get from the Lord. Now, that's in no way denouncing revelation, but yet we have to stay balanced when we bring it forth. And our balance is the Word of God. When you start moving into revelation, you should get a very comfortable feeling when you read the Word of God, because some of those manifestations, some of the techniques should be there. Similarly, in curses, as strange as it sounds, it's got to be in the Word of God. I'm not standing here quoting Roger's Thesaurus or Dr. Spock or another preacher. I'm here quoting what God says. And I'm sure you don't want to hear my philosophy. Colossians 2:8 says, beware. You know that scripture shouts, beware. Of what? The philosophy of men, the traditions of men, rudiments of the world, that are not after Christ. So we want what is after Christ. And when you see this, I just pray all of you receive what God's going to say. And when you do, that faith that it builds within you will build the foundation for your deliverance. Amen. Okay, a very brief review. There were four types of curses. We covered just one yesterday, which means we've got to cover the other three today, so we've got to move on. The one we covered yesterday was those pronounced with an invocation prayer, calling upon a divine and supernatural power, and a lot of you got free. And it doesn't mean that's all the curses we broke. We broke some others. Then there were the remaining three. Those resulting from the law of sowing and reaping, that is, not following God's commands. And as a result, God puts a curse on you. Not Satan, not the devil, not Lucifer, God. Those produced by certain objects, and those resulting from out-of-balance teachings. And we're going to try to... It's going to be a miracle if we can get all of them in today's session. Let's begin with the second type, category type B, those resulting from the law of sowing and reaping. Okay, let's go over something here real quickly. We discussed briefly Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Mount Gerizim, the Mount of Blessing, Mount Ebal, the Mount of Cursing. The Israelites who were delivered from Egypt, who God miraculously kept them in the wilderness, now are coming to the River Jordan. They're crossing, and they're going through a valley, which we said yesterday, the town of Shechem was eventually built, and there's two mountains on either side. And as they walk through, some representatives of the tribe of Israel went to one mountain, and some went to the other. And you know what they basically quoted? All of Deuteronomy 28. The problem is, there's a lot of people who are quoting one half of Deuteronomy 28 today, and not quoting the other half of Deuteronomy 28. Now, let me say this. I believe in prosperity. I could tell you later how God prospered me. But there is a balance to that. You hear me out there? There's a balance to that. And the blessings and prosperity of God are for only those who meet the conditions of God. That is what comes forth from Mount Gerizim. Today, we're going to talk about what comes forth from Mount Ebal. And with that, we're going to read this. Starting at verse 15 in Deuteronomy 28. I think we're going to read the whole thing. And it shall come to pass that if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, before verse 15, between verses 1 and 14, we had all the niceties. All the blessings in the city, and the blessings in the country, and blessed shall be in your store, and blessed shall be in your pocket, and everything else, all right? If you meet the commands, and the voice, and hearken, and all this. But God has the other side of the coin too, you see. And he says, if you do not hearken unto my voice, to observe to do all his commandments and statutes which I command thee this day, that all the curses, ooh, that nasty word, shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field, cursed shalt thou be in thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, that means your children, and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord, not the devil, shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee. You know where that also is used, the word cleave? On the day of Pentecost, where they saw cloven tongues of fire. Only that cleaving was a good thing. Right? This cleaving is not so good. Until he have consumed thee from off the land where thou goest to possess. The Lord shall smite thee with the consumption, with the fever, with inflammation, with extreme burning, with the sword, with blasting, with mildew, and they that shall pursue thee until you perish. Thy heaven that's over thee shall be like brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be like iron. That's a cute way of saying your prayers won't get answered and your crops won't grow. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. Mind you, this is being said to the Israelites as they're walking through Shechem, and everybody's saying amen. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And thou shalt be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of thy earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord shall smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. Hello. The Lord shall smite thee with madness. Few people got rid of that yesterday. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart. And many shall perish for fear of hearts, or failing of hearts, it says in the New Testament. And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness. He cast out a spirit of darkness today. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. It gets worse. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Well, that's not too good. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. That's not too hot either. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and thou shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. And it goes on and on and on. Verse 32, thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. Hello. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors, verse 33, shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away. I think you get the message. What we have done today is put this one chapter in Deuteronomy so totally out of balance that only hears the first 14 verses. Okay, brother. Oh, you'll have to. I don't have it in my notes. Go ahead, brother.
Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you, till you will be destroyed.
Amen.
Because you hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he command thee this day.
Yep. How many of you heard the teaching? You should be the head and not the tail. Read verse 44. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. You see, a curse with God is just the opposite of his blessing. Just the opposite. But we can inherit the blessings very easily if we just meet the conditions. And it's not hard. You know, my Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. Hello? I can meet the conditions if I will to. Do you know there's a curse if you don't give proper offerings and tithes? It says in Malachi chapter 3, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the Lord answers, in tithes and offerings. And you know what we've done to that? We've said, well, and listen, you know, I'll tell you, this is true. People come up to you and say, well, I guess I won't be blessed really too much this month. I didn't tithe. Well, it's true you won't be blessed, but you'll be cursed. I have so many preacher friends who come to me and tell me of the time they've gone to a church and they've performed deliverance. They've preached sermons. And what happens? They take up a love offering. And then when the pastor leaves, they give him a $50 bill. I want to tell you something. That's a curse to those people. My friend left, and you know what he mistakenly said? He said, God can't bless that congregation. He's right, but what he should have said is, God's going to curse it. Because he came in the name of Jehovah God. He came as the man of God. He gave his time and his offering, and then the people who run the church say, we're going to take up a love offering for Brother So-and-so. So the people responded because they wanted to bless so-and-so. But guess what these thieves did? They stole the money and gave the man of God $50. You know, God can't bless a church like that. Moreover, he's going to curse it. Think of how many times you know an incident like that. Amen. Verse 9 says, you're cursed with a curse. I mean, how plain could it be? And you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now there's the curse. But God is twofold. Notice the very next verse. If you meet the conditions, I'll give you the blessings. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. That's the condition. Now here's the blessing. That there may be meat in my house. And prove me. Look at that. God's saying, you just do it, and you can hold me to my word. You can prove me. You can point your finger at me and point back to this text and prove me, and I'll do it. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, glory to God, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. How about that? There won't even be room enough to receive it. That's the kind of blessings I want. Amen. In fact, there are snakes in the grass in the Bible who've understood that they couldn't pronounce a curse, but if they just could get the children of Israel to transgress the laws of God, that God would curse them. I'll give you an example. You see, let's look at Balaam for a minute. And we used Balaam quite a bit yesterday. It says, why did Balak spend all this cash to call down someone to curse if there was nothing to curse us? Remember? Remember? Three people. Wonderful. Hallelujah. But there's more to that story. Balaam realized that Almighty God was changing the words in his very tongue. So you know what he did? He went to Balak and he said, I cannot pronounce a curse, but yet I can tell you how what you want to accomplish can be accomplished. Well, Balak was all ears. He says, if you just can get the princes of Israel to commit fornication with the Midianite women, God will curse them. I won't have to. I'll tell you something. It's exactly what happened. But Balaam reaped what he sowed, because when they finally repented, and when Phinehas, now here is, we talked about pronouncing judgment yesterday a little bit. Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the high priest, looked, and he saw a prince of Israel fornicating with a Midianite woman right at his tent. And with the zeal of God, he took a spear, and from his position, he hurled it. And as they lay, it pierced both the prince and the woman. Is that the love of Jesus? The judgment of Almighty God, because you read the text, and it says that God stayed the plague as soon as he did that. You see, we, with carnal minds, judge that all wrong. But in the mind of God, when God says something, he expects you to obey. There's one problem with what we just read. People say, well, so what does it matter if I do it? It's just me, and I can do anything I want, and it doesn't affect anyone else. Wrong. Listen to this scripture. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children, and with thy children after thee. You see, the blessings go down to the lineage and to the generations after you, but unfortunately, so do the curses. Let's look. Deuteronomy 4:40. It's on the board. In fact, there is several cases, and we could expound on this now that Jesus comes. I'll give you two. What about Achan? In the armies of Israel at the time that Joshua was in command, and they attacked Jericho. The command was, don't touch anything, don't go after the clothing, the jewels, or anything, just leave everything put. No, Achan's eye wandered, and he saw something he wanted. He says, well, I'll take it, nobody will ever know. Woo! Never say never to God. Because the Bible says, your sin shall find you out. And he took it. And when they finally cast lots and through the whole procedure, they found it was Achan and his family. Well, you know, stoning was the punishment, but Achan was not the only one who died. His wife and his children. The curse was passed on, you see. And then, this came to me even more clearer at a place I came to preach last year. Maybe some of you know this place. It's called Camp Lake Hamilton. And a Jewish Christian came up for prayer. And as she came, God gave me a word of knowledge. Break that curse. What curse, Lord? Some of you know this. That's why some are saying that's right before me telling, because they already know it. And as she sat down, I just looked at her. And I, you know when you get the knowledge and you know her? You know, you don't know how you get it, but you know it's just there. That's God. And God says, she's got the curse. From when the Jews were standing in front of Pilate. And Pilate came to them and said, this man is innocent. What shall I do with him? They said, crucify him. And Pilate took that basin and washed his hands. He says, I'm innocent of blood. And what did they say? Let his blood be on us and our... And they cursed their own progeny. And that woman who was sitting in this part of the audience, I said, sister, I may be wrong, but I think you've got the curse of 2,000 years ago. From when they pronounced. Now here's where a curse of pronouncement also is a generation curse too. Because not only is it pronounced and affects the children right there as the Jews were living to have children, but it also affects all that lineage. And I sent someone over to that woman. They prayed, it manifested, and was cast out. I wonder how many things we've said with our lips have gone through our generations and will go through our generations. Or more than that, I wonder what our parents and forefathers have said that's affecting us right now. Is it any wonder it says that there's life and death in the power of the tongue? So that's one way a generation curse can get started, through pronunciation. We discussed that yesterday. But also through the laws of sowing and reaping. Obviously, that when the Jews said it, okay, they said something, but they went ahead and killed Jesus. So didn't they break the laws? Sure, they killed an innocent man. And as a matter of fact, they transgressed even their own laws of the Sanhedrin to do it. So they're guilty by word and deed. Now, if you want to debate whether it was the evil curse of pronouncement that went through the lineage or the deed, I'm not going to debate you. The fact is it was there and it was gone when we cast it out in the name of the Lord. Well, what's another example of something that can be passed down, Brother Frank? And I told you, I'm not going to speak of anything I have not passed through myself, and this is going to lead to my own example. Fasten your seatbelts. Exodus 20, starting at verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And here's the command. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that's in earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, but showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. There's the balance, folks. Don't quote verse 6 when first reading verse 5. Now, how does that apply to me? What curse was on me? You all know my background as far as religion. And if you're going to get offended what I'm going to say, I can't help it. But I'm here to speak the oracles of God. And I'm not going to mince words. I'm going to tell you just as it happened. And I'm going to tell you as it happened, as the Lord impressed me as to the cause and effect. I was Roman Catholic. My grandparents were very devout and religious Roman Catholics. Never in my life did I understand anything about curses and idols and idolatry. Neither did I really care. But there's one thing I hated. My grandparents lived in an old house. And the kitchen and the bedrooms were sort of up front. And then there was a small ante room before you go into the living room. Now you listen to this. And in this anteroom, there were statues. St. Anne, Mary, St. Jude for the impossible cases. Of course, I know a lot of my family I'm trying to witness to is pretty impossible. St. this, St. Helen, St. that, you name it, it was there. And then to make it even weird, it had this red light on all the time. And it just was weird. I mean, I was 8 years old, and I, you know, as kids want to do, they want to get to the TV. Another curse. Hello? And in order to get to the other curse, I had to walk to the anteroom. And I just got to the edge of the room, and I saw these creepy idols, you know, in the red light, and giving me bad vibes, as the teenagers say, you know. And I ran past the room to get to where the TV was. Never thought anything about it. Years later, now we're going to the future. Years later, I'm going to high school. I had a dog. This is important, believe it or not. And I was sitting at my table. I was very assiduous in my studies. I wanted to excel. That's probably where I got perfection. Anyway, I wanted to excel at my studies, and my dog was lying here, right by my side. It was a small dog, just average dog, but not very spiritual. But I'm sure glad I had him with me that night. And the staircase to the bedroom sort of went up this way, and then it came down, and the hallway, which came into the kitchen where I was, separated the staircase from the living room, okay, which is, let's say, over here. Well, I'm writing away and studying and all of a sudden. Nothing's going wrong. I'm alone. No one else is in the house, and my dog is there, and I'm writing, and all of a sudden, boom, just like that. My spirit, I guess that's what it was, just, you know how you're home alone? And all of a sudden, there's, oh, Lord, help me, there's somebody in this house. And I, am I going crazy? There's nobody in the house, it's just me and the dog. And I, no, there's somebody in this house. And I just, a fear came over me. And I just started looking around. I mean, I knew there was somebody in that house. And I looked up the hallway, looked over, there was nothing. But then I looked up again. Believe it or not, this is actually what happened to me. I looked up that hallway again, and I saw an apparition so fast in the form of some type of body jump across those stairs, across the hallway, and into the living room. And my dog went, woof. And he sort of went, I'm up there, he's down, and he sort of went, like, did you see that? You know. Well, I was frightening, and then I calmed myself down. Well, maybe it's my imagination. What was imagination, too? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, well, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17, well, who do I know? You know, I just forget it. Just, you know, maybe it's just one of those things. Man, so I never worry about it again. Now we jump 18 years into the future. Notice how many years have elapsed already. Still carrying this thing around. One night, I'm now married. Happily married. Nice home, beautiful wife, lovely daughter, successful. And we just had dealt with the lieutenant colonel the night before. And we broke all these occult things. I had no occult in me, I thought. So I went to bed that night. And I dreamt a dream about a vampire attacking me. Man, I woke up. Oh, thank God. Wait a minute, what's happening to me? And all of a sudden, there was somebody in me, vibrating with fear. And I said, wait a minute, I'm all right. And the more I kept saying I'm all right, the worse I got. Tell that to your confession preachers. Amen. And I finally, Rosalie, wake up. What's wrong? I'm afraid of something, or something in me is afraid. I can't make out which. So she got up, she put her robe on, says, let's start rebuking. So we rebuked, we confessed, and I saw what I saw in my eyes as I closed them was two green eyes looking at me. Two green eyes. And green is a very favorite color of demons. We cast out a demon of the voice you heard not too long ago, a couple of days ago. We cast out jealousy, and the demon said, don't you see her green eyes? So I rebuked it as best I could. Now, this doesn't mean everybody's got green eyes as demons. Okay, come on. So we rebuked it. I went back to sleep. But I knew the next day we were going to have to do some heavy warfare. So I got my favorite list out. And by the way, I'm running low. If you want to get a few, get them today. And we went through the list. It's got to be fear, Rosalie. You know, she's my deliverance minister if you think I'm great. She's my deliverance minister. She knows how to get in touch with Jesus, too. It's not just me. So she goes through with that list. Okay, it's fear. Okay, fear, come out. It's not there. It's got to be. You told me. Well, I would guess I'm wrong. I said, what else is on that list? It was down the list. How about terror? Try it. My philosophy is, look, if you try it and it's not there, so what? But if you try it and it is there, it goes. So what do you got to lose? So she tried it. Guess what? It was there. And I want to tell you something. All of a sudden, you ever see those cartoons with the people who are afraid they got the yellow stripe down their back? That's exactly what I had. Don't know what color it was, maybe green. But it was in my back. And I said, Rosalie, it's in my back. Get the olive oil. Father anointed in Jesus' name. And she proceeded to make me an Italian salad at a Frank Mandel, you know, olive oil up and down. It's in my neck, in the neck, in the back. Finally broke it. After a couple of minutes, gone. I said, wait a minute. If there's one, there's more. Remember, they're like cockroaches. So she looked on the list again. I said, I'll bet you there's something in the occult realm. Try familiar spirit. But you familiar spirit? Try it. Okay. Familiar spirit, come out in Jesus' name. Oh, in the back again.
The olive oil, Italian salad routine.
Up and down. It came out. I said, okay, stop everything, put the list down. Now we need a word from the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, what else do I have? You got paralysis. What? Paralysis. God, I'm not paralyzed. That's the word of the Lord. It's spoken. We'll go with it. All she said was once, paralysis come out, and I heaved that thing up from my belly. I said, Lord, you got to put this one together for me. I don't understand it. Well, Frank, let's go now. 25 years. Back into the past. Remember the scary little room at Grandma's house? Remember when you were home alone and the dog barked when you thought it was your imagination and seeing this thing? Remember how terrified you were? Remember you saw a familiar spirit. And when you saw it and were terrified, you got paralyzed with fear. So we got familiar spirit, terror, and paralysis. All working together. There are no formulas, folks. And you need the wisdom of God because every case is different. Now, I believe some of you may benefit from this testimony, but everything that scares you don't have to be a familiar spirit. Okay? And now look at those objects. Here is my innocent grandparents not knowing the word of God, and here I'm innocent. I mean, I'm third generation Italian. What did we just read in Exodus 20? To the third and fourth generation. About idolatry. Key word here, idolatry. Now let me say this. The New Testament is much more severe about idolatry than the Old. What? You must be joking. Mm-mm. Because you see, the Old Testament is limited to objects, statues. But there's no limitation in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, anything that comes before God is idolatry. Wife, car, home, job, hobbies, you name it. Anything. And you can find the scriptures if you want. You say, well, where do you get that, Brother Frank? Well, Jesus said to the Pharisees, the ones he called hypocrites, it says in the law that if you commit adultery, you sin. But I say unto you, if you lust in your heart, you've already committed it. Amen. It's when our heart that counts. Not the actual act, but what's in our heart. In fact, God has his own object lesson on objects. It comes from the next scriptures we're going to read. Numbers 21, starting at verse 6, and 2 Kings 18. And I can't think of a more clearer scripture than this to show you if you've got something you're worshiping, get rid of it. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and they died. But the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away these serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Now here was the wisdom of God, and here was the plan of God, direction of God. And he said, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that when anyone is bitten, if he just looks upon this fiery serpent, he will live. So Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he just beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Okay? But now let's jump a couple of thousand years into the future. 2 Kings 18, starting at verse 1. It came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. In verse 3, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. Now listen to this. He removed the high places and broke the images. He cut down the groves and broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Why? For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. About that. You know what the problem is with Christians? They've seen a move of God one day, and they want to coin it, they want to traditionalize it, they want to put it in a box and worship it. That's not the ways of God. What was good in one generation may not be good for this generation. We have to put away our little old personal brazen serpents. It's quiet out there. Regardless how quiet, it produces a curse. And we've seen curses multiply from one generation after another. If you expect children, get to live it before you have them, so you won't have to live with your children. Because once it breaks in you, it won't be passed down. I'm talking about curses. A curse is different from a spirit. A curse is passed down from your lineage. A spirit is something you just naturally pick up. But let me say this. If you have a curse from someone in your past, you also have the spirit. Hello. Got rid of a lot of curses? Maybe we'll get their partners in crime today. Their spirits. Let me give you an example of how we broke these curses that come down from the family line. And we didn't know what to call it. All right, Lord, there's a curse here from the family line. Is that what we call it? And he just impressed me. Just call it generation curse. It worked. The demons knew what I meant. They came out. I have to translate it in Greek or Latin. They knew what I was talking about. We found one woman who had a curse from her mother. I said, let's try to see if it's a generation curse. It wasn't. It came out. Our friend who was spirit-filled, whose wife was spirit-filled, had a beautiful voice that could sing like a bird. How's having headaches? Oh, my headaches. Must be a spirit of infirmity, right?
It ain't necessarily so.
Went there, we counseled. Tell me something about your mom and dad. Tell me something about your childhood. Well, my mom was in astrology. I got the message. Generation curse, come out in Jesus' name. It went. And then all the other spirits after that. People were born with psychic powers. You know what I can do? Well, what can you do? I can stop machines. I can stop clocks. I have telekinesis. I have this. Where'd you get it from? Just born with it. I must be something in my hormones. No, it's a demon. Psychic curse. Mom and dad gets into psychic abilities. Woo-hoo, I'm communicating with Aunt Trudy 45 miles away. No, you're not. It's a demon doing it for you. Not Aunt Trudy and not you. The problem is when we have our kids, we pass it down. And then if it goes beyond and beyond and beyond, it's generation curses on top of generation curses. Also mental illness. That's very good down the family line. And if you're born with it, again, it's not hormones. It's a demon spirit. And where do these things come from? Well, like we said, they come from the parents, from their sins. Didn't we just read how it's going to affect the children? We're so selfish. We dare get into sin and say it's just going to affect us. What about? And I hate to say this, mothers, but we have counseled moms and dads, and they admitted to us that some of their children were unwanted. So unwanted that the mother tried to abort it, whether with the permission of her husband or without. And because she sought to abort it, a spirit of rejection entered her, but a curse of rejection entered her child. So here's the child born to the world already with a curse over her head. Curse of rejection, there's a spirit of rejection. Now, we usually find out, especially in idolatry, which we've just read from the scripture, that when we idolize someone, there's the name of that someone in us as a spirit of idolatry. But the name of someone in us is not confined to just the spirit of idolatry. Because we've just found out yesterday that if someone puts a curse, you can say, curse from so-and-so, and that spirit in there will respond to its name. For instance, we come against the spirit of Elvis Presley. We mentioned this briefly yesterday. And this guy had it, and you could tell it. He walks into a restaurant, old suit on, got a guitar strapped on his back.
Hey, you want me to sing for you?
No, please, don't sing. Just go sit down. Have an apple pie. Do something. Don't sing. We went to the pastor. I says, I really believe that this guy's got a spirit of idolatry.
You ain't telling me.
I was in that restaurant when he pulled that stunt. Amen. So if the name is there, don't get hung up. It don't have to be a curse. It could be idolatry. But then again, it could be a curse. That's why you need discernment. And that's why there's no rules. A curse starts as a spirit first. Usually speaking, it's true. Unless there's pronounced curses. Unless someone pronounces a curse on you and it goes into your generation, if you involve yourself in sin and then pass it down, that's when it becomes a curse. Okay? We found out the law of sowing and reaping. The botch, the itch, idolatry, tithing. And that comes from the lack of following God's commands. Amen? Now let's go into objects. We sort of paved the way with idolatry. What kind of objects? I'm going to name them, and then we're going to talk about some scriptures. Statues, because of the scripture we just read, such as frogs, owls, Indian objects, pictures, those bought, especially at the reservation, Buddhas, some dolls, and cuckoo clocks, books, Edgar Casey, Gene Dixon, Taylor Caldwell. Naturally, pornographic magazines as an open door. Ruth Montgomery. Jewelry. Necklaces. Onks. Starved David. It's not Starved David. Pierced earrings. We found rosary beads. Scapulars. Incense. In fact, is Kevin here? Raise your hand. Praise the Lord. I appreciate that, brother. Because as we were talking about certain jewelry and certain things, say, Brother Frank, what do you think about a certain cosmetic company? It's said to be based in witchcraft. So I heard that. I says, and I think that the Lord showed me, is that you're right? He says, well, add this to your sermon. He says, when I did a study in the Strong's Concordance, he says, and we looked up the word iniquity in the Chaldean, he says, do you know how exactly it's spelled in Strong's Concordance? I said, no. So he showed me. Avon calling. No thanks. I can pass it today. Isn't it funny that the one who is based in witchcraft has the equal word in the Chaldean in the Old Testament of iniquity? My wife came to me last December as we were thinking of what to buy a Christmas presents for. And she says, look at this advertisement. And out from heaven, this was the picture, out from heaven, touching earth, and it said, Avon cast the first spell on Christmas. Woo! Some choice of words. Most people would just call that a coincidence. We know better. Music. Albums is an object. A-tracks are an object. Cassettes are objects. Also, beware of things bought in certain places. Objects that especially come from the Far East or India, Africa, Haiti, or Jamaica. And South America now. You just got to be discerning. We're going to read a very important scripture on objects in a minute. But let me tell you this about a man who went to Jamaica or Haiti, I forget which, but he bought a bongo drum. You know, what could be possibly wrong with a bongo drum? One day he goes out, he's a spiritual Christian, and he goes into his living room, and the bongo drum is laying on the floor. Well, you know, the kids must be playing. Sets it back up. Next day goes in the living room, it's on the floor again. Sets it up. Next day goes in the living room. Hey, wait a minute. This sounds familiar. Remember the story in 1 Samuel chapter 5? Where the enemy catches the Ark of the Covenant. And they said, "Where it's such a prized possession, we will put it in the temple of Dagon." So they put it in the temple of Dagon. And the next day, Dagon slipped off the floor, off his shelf. And he was found on the floor. I wonder what happened to Dagon. This never happened before. So they put him back. Imagine that, having to help your God back to where he was. They go the next day. This time Dagon is fallen, and he's got no hands, no feet, no head. And they got the message, you know. Hey, it's the ark that's the problem. Let's get rid of it. And this fellow related that Old Testament story to his problem and said, we have to get rid of the drum. So they burned it. And by the way, that's the scriptural way to get rid of objects. We met a woman who at the time of her salvation was ready to be institutionalized. She had mental problems, illness, depression, this great despondency. She could hardly type at work or just take dictation. Her mind was just going. But yet 30 days before, she was normal. What was the cause? She went to a flea market and saw this cute little Buddha that she wanted to buy and put on top of her TV. One curse on top of another. Very shortly after that, she had astrological charts as wallpaper in her room. She went to buy glasses, drinking glasses that had the objects of owls, snakes, and frogs on them. Other statues, Edgar Casey books in just 30 days. Is it a coincidence? Mm-mm. I know a spirit-filled cop who before he came into the revelation of deliverance and of demon spirits had Buddhas in his house. And when he did, he went home and realized the message that was preached, got his ball-peen hammer, and as he tried to break plaster of Paris, he couldn't do it until he said, you will break in the name of Jesus. And it went, puff. I have a Roman Catholic friend who at the time of his salvation wasn't even saved, and someone gave him a pair of rosary beads and says, congratulations, brother. Man, he touched those rosary beads, and the only thing he got was teenagers' bad vibes. He went home to his wife and said, there's something evil in these beads. It's a wedding gift. I don't care. I'm throwing them out. He got saved. Years later, related that incident to the Christian who led him to the Lord, he says, brother, he says, don't you realize where the majority of rosary beads are made by the Catholic Church? He said, no. Haiti? That should trigger some things in your mind. Poltergeist manifestations. That is those manifestations where you hear doors slamming, knocking on doors, records playing, the doorbell ring, the refrigerator slamming, are caused usually by objects in the house. Do a leaven hunt. You know, get the leaven out of your house. Amen. We talked about the 18-year-old boy who had Casey and the Sunshine Band and an 8-track tape put in his 8-track in his car, and that was causing the voodoo problem. But I questioned him, is there anything in your house, an object in your house? And you know what he told me? No. But I didn't know he wasn't telling the truth. So I felt led with my wife and another Christian woman to do a leaven hunt. Now, something complicated the problem. His father was not open to this. So his father decides to call in another Christian that he could trust, that he could do the leaven hunt, since he didn't trust the Mendolians. Okay, call anybody you want. If he's a spirit-filled Christian, I don't care. Well, I was so glad this other guy came, because he knew more about it than I did. We walked through the house, and I'm looking for real objects, you know, things on masks or something, you know. Couldn't find a thing. This guy's finding all sorts of stuff. Hallelujah. He walks over, and he sees these books, these gigantic spoons and forks that you buy at novelty shops. He says, hey, Frank, look on the handles on this carved totem pole. I said, boy, I didn't catch that. Sure, glad you did. Well, I could see that father just steaming. Why'd I invite that guy anyway? Hey, Frank, look at this. They got little statues of ghost figures. Throw them out. But the thing that bothered me is in two corners of the room, where's coconut? And on it was carved the face of an owl. And I did not like it. I told the man, I don't like the coconut. What's wrong with them? My spirit says, no. You want me to give you chapter and verse? about a coconut that's carved into the face of an owl? I can't do it. You know.
Show me in the Word, brother. You know, one of those. If it's not in the Word, I'm not moving.
Oh, where's the Spirit of God? Where's your revelation, brother? You know, I love the Word, but it's taken me further, bless God. And I don't need a scripture and verse to tell me to get rid of a coconut owl. And the guy wouldn't budge. So his son walks in, sent by the Spirit of God, hallelujah. He walks in and says, Brother Frank, I have a confession to make. That you said, is there anything bugging me in this house? And I said, no, sis, but I wasn't completely truthful. It's those cotton-picking coconut owls. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. This doesn't mean that you can't eat coconuts anymore. Just don't carve them in the face of owls. And we'll tell you why owls are bad in just a minute. It sounds kind of, you know, mystic. It's not. It's not mystic at all. These things that are in your house can do damage. Okay? The damage we just saw with this 18-year-old boy. Sure, there was a tape of Hard Rock. Hard Rock has got the voodoo beat. That's why it's bad teenagers. Not because we're trying to spread the generation gap. It's wrong. And we don't want you to see you pick up a demon just like this beautiful 18-year-old boy did. He knows better. He got rid of that tape. He burned it. But we had spiritual Christians who told us, especially one of my friends. Oh, boy, I thought Italians were stubborn. This guy was worse. I won't tell you what nationality, but he's old European. And he kneeled night after night in his bedroom with his wife and could not pray through. Could not pray through. Could not pray. Just go to sleep. Get tired. Oh, Lord, talk to you. Until one day he looked up, and on his wall was a macrame of an owl. And as soon as he got rid of it, the problem went away. We delivered a woman, or I should say, we're trying to deliver a woman from witchcraft. She could not be delivered. Now you listen, okay? Because the demon wouldn't go. I could see it look right through her eyes at me. It didn't like me. Most of them don't. And it says, it's not going, Brother Frank. I said, well, wait. There's something in your house. And if you've got a problem getting delivered, go do 1100. And don't be ashamed. Go do it. Get somebody who knows more about it. You don't have to rely on a minister. Get one another. You edify one another. She says, Brother Frank, don't hand me that. I've been through over and over again. There's nothing in my house. I said, there's something in your house? Go back and check. There's nothing in my house. Do it one more time. All right, I do it. 2 weeks later, hey, Brother Frank, guess what? Tell me. The first drawer I opened, and I looked at that drawer 100 times. Did that spirit can blind you? Hello? She went to her house several times, got a whole box of books on witchcraft and the occult and everything else. But listen what she missed. As she opened up that front drawer in her dresser, in the back was the patron saint of witchcraft. She threw it out. She got delivered. That's the legal hold. That's the legality. Demons are legalistic. If they know there's an open door and they can hang on, they're staying. Hope you heard that, for those of you who find it hard to get delivered. We've also found that not only is tapes and record albums bad, but actually instruments that are dedicated to Satan. We had a case where we know of a fundamentalist preacher who had to tell 2 people in his congregation to burn the guitars because they were dedicated to Hard Rock. And once they were burned, the feeling of oppression left the house. Something else. While objects are curses, objects that don't appear as curses can be curses if a verbal curse is put on an object. Did you get that? In other words, there are certain objects that are curses without the shadow of a doubt. Statues. This, that, the other. But an innocent object can be a curse if a verbal curse is pronounced over it. I'll give you an example. We had a case of a divorce where the woman handed back the ring that she wore, which her husband bought for their engagement. And she said these words, here's your filthy ring back. I hope the next person you give it to it dies. Well, she just thought she was angry. Forgot about the words. and gave it to his sister.
2 months later, Rosalie and I get a call 1 o'clock in the morning, long distance from Manitoba, Canada. My friend picks up on the other line and says, "Frank, if you don't know what to cast out, my wife is going to die. I'll tell you something. I know these people individually. And the woman is a victorious Christian. She was on her deathbed. And the word of the Lord finally came to them. They broke that curse, and immediately, things started changing. In a couple of days, she was up and around. Sorry, friends, this is the truth. We'll have to be more discerning if we're going to win the battle with Satan. What about owls, Brother Frank? You mentioned them several times. What about that? I want you to copy 2 scriptures down. It's just too much to read, but you can go home and read them. Isaiah 13, 19 through 22. And turn to Isaiah 34. We're going to read that one. Isaiah 34. And we're going to show you that there is something in the Bible about owls. Isaiah 34, beginning of verse 13. The subject is when God curses a land. Okay? Verse 13, it says, "The thorn shall come up in her places, in her palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof." Now, this is when God curses a land and it becomes desolate. "And it shall be an habitation of dragons and a court for owls." Do you hear that? "The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island. And the satyr shall cry to his fellow. The screech owl also shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest." We just came from Louisiana. And we were told of a satanic church that was starting on the other side of town. And at the same time, members of that church started a knick-knack shop. They decided to call it, above all the names, the Owl's Touch. Coincidence? I don't think so. We saw a missionary film of people who went to Mexico to minister. And in this film, they showed that in the Catholic Church, which is much more superstitious in other underdeveloped countries than they are here in the United States, they hold a feast called the Feast of the Bones. And what they do is they make candy and they fashion it in the likeness of skeletons, scorpions, and owls. I don't think this is all a coincidence. But you know something? We don't wait for God to curse the land for the owls to inhabit it. We go out to buy the owls and bring it in our land. Amen. There are several things that I have witnessed personally about objects. And I will demonstrate. Now, some of you, this is old hat, for the staff and for the leaders here. You heard this last time, but there's a lot of people who haven't. And I feel it's edifying enough to go over it. When God used this in Manitoba, Canada last year, and this is the most hair-raising experience of objects, so anointed with the wrong anointing, that I want everyone to get a hold of what I'm speaking so they don't take this as mere trivia. You understand? We had a call at midnight to go out to a house, and the people just had heard the tapes on curses. And we went to the house. It was a dreary looking night. Very dark, clouds. It looked like it was going to rain. Very dreary and a windy road with no lights. It was very spooky. And we get to this house in the middle of no man's land. We pull up, go up the walkway, enter the house. I think I was the first one in. And I walked in, and there was a staircase that went down to the cellar, which, let's say, was along this aisle, middle aisle. And I bypassed. There was a picture above it, but I ignored it. And I went to the living room to see what I could find. And I didn't discern anything. And then, where Glenn is with the tape recorder, there was a table, a kitchen table, and sort of where the piano was a hutch with many knickknacks. Remember that. And I was here in the living room and trying to discern, had my spiritual feelers out. Amen. And someone says, "Hey, Brother Frank, come here. Look at this picture." So then I just moved over a little bit to
where the staircase was, saw the picture, and I didn't like it. And I didn't like it for several reasons. One, it was born on the reservation. Two, it was a picture of an Indian woman and her son. Three, there was an evil-looking thing in the kid's eyes, which was, I could never explain, but I could feel in my spirit. The people were open enough to say, we'll destroy it. But that wasn't the hair-raising thing. The hair-raising thing is when the pastor's daughter was by the kitchen table where the knickknacks, which had been in the china cabinet, were now spread on the kitchen table. Brother Frank, come over here. I want to show you this. So I walked over, and the first thing that caught my eye was an owl clock. It was a set of three owls, ceramic, and then a big one, and the mother owl, I guess it was the mother, had a clock. That's the first thing that caught my eye. First thing, because owls, you know, owls. So I'm standing there, and as I'm looking at it, unbeknownst to me, my hand was next to an object. Now you listen to this. And as I'm looking at the owl clock, my hand becomes numb. And it starts traveling at my fingertips very noticeably, very quickly. Up my fingers, up my hand, came up my wrist, and stopped right up. I turned to the pastor and said, hey, my hand's going dead. I'm losing this. I went like this. I'm losing the sensation in my hand. And I looked down, and I saw the object that my hand was next to. And anybody with no discernment would have thought it's even pretty. But you listen to this. The object was a candy dish. And it appeared to be basically orange. And on the outline was a gold figurine of an owl. But that really wasn't the thing. As I looked at the orange background, I realized that the orange was painted in flames. And as I turned and looked at it, I said, oh, my God, Satan's face is right in the midst of those flames. And the pastor's wife looked this. She jumped 10 feet out. The owner of the house took it, opened the door, and out it went. It was a UFO. And it took about 8 hours for my feeling to come back. Now, isn't it interesting, the tie-in between the owl and Satan's face? Oh. And it was a real weird-looking face of Satan. It was like the fox wolf type face, where it's sort of smeared, the eyebrows are high, and he's got the long nose, and it just gets sort of mingled in with the... Oh, it was awful. Now, we did a book hunt with our leaven hunt. Man, I tell you, we had a lot of more enthusiasm after we cast that thing out of the house to look for objects. And we went to the bedroom and found a accurate write-up on the Jim Jones fiasco in Vienna. And it was to show about false prophets. It was a good book. It was a book to show of the deception. That's all right. But the artist wanted to bring forth that Jim Jones was demonically inspired. Do you know how he did that? He pictured Jim Jones in front of a pulpit like this. And to the side of him was a coloring of orange flames. And in the midst of it was the smeared, wolf, fox-like face of the devil. I could see why an artist would want to portray it in talking about Jim Jones, but who in the name of heaven is putting him on our candy dishes? Amen. Now, something even more spookier. I said, where in the name of heaven did you buy this thing? And they named the store that Rosalie had to go in to bind the spirit of witchcraft. How's that for a connection for you? That gives me the goosebumps when I think about it. Also, as she got more motivated to look for objects, she found in her basement a book, In Search of Bridie Murphy, a story on reincarnation. Well, Brother Frank, I'm interested. What happens if I find them? What do I do with them? Before we go into that, I want to impress upon you that it's not always the objects you think are cursed which are cursed. It's sometimes things that you don't think are cursed, such as candy dishes, such as mirrors. Now, this doesn't mean I go back home to Tampa, Florida, and break every mirror in my house. Don't get in bondage. But I know of a case where a warlock put a curse in a mirror, and everybody in that home who looked himself in that mirror bought the curse from it and got in sexual promiscuity until that curse was broken. What to do with them? Here's what to do with them. The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. He that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Lest you be a cursed thing like it. Amen. Acts 19:19 says, many of them also, which use curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and amounted to 50,000 pieces of silver. The scripture way to destroy it is burn it. Don't give it away. We know that just behind, there's a demon behind every idol. There's a demon behind a curse. And there's a demon behind an object that is either a curse or that has been cursed. Okay, enough of that. We have to move on. I said the last one we're going to discuss today is those curses produced by out-of-balance teachings. Is my time up? It is. All right, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll leave that to tomorrow because it's just too much to go into now. And you need to hear it. So we're going to let it go for tomorrow, and I'll take two or three questions to close out today. The rest of you whose questions I cannot answer, I will just do it tomorrow. Questions? Go ahead. Pray about it. See what the Lord tells you. I'll go put you in bondage. I would think not offhand, but you need to pray about it. Depends who put out the book and who's prayed over it. Sir? Yep.
When he left a lot of stuff in our house. It's still there.
Get rid of it. Brother, it's just not coincidence that we talked this morning. I think some of the problems you're experiencing could be the very things you're talking about. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody had the yes, sister? Praise God. You know what to do with him now. Next. I don't know about Indian rugs. I would say pray about it and hear the voice of God. There's no hard and fast rules. Sir? Yeah, no, I'm sorry, Morris. Go ahead. Uh-huh. Night specter? Did you hear that? He says one of the definitions of owl was night specter. I may add that we delivered someone from witchcraft, and I think a cult, and at the time he was staying in a house that had several demons, and when he used to leave the house, he was attacked by a creature. Guess what it was? Next. Somebody back there. Go ahead, sister. You. Thank you, sister. God bless you. I hope you heard that. Go ahead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll tell you this. I would stay away from rock music as much as possible. You're submitting yourself to an open door. I know of testimonies of when we went to Canada, the director of the retreat told me about a spirit-filled Christian who happened to go to a powwow because their friends were going. And by the time she returned, he was casting out the happy hunting ground and everything else. So you must be careful. You can't enter Satan's territory and leave yourself open to attack. Sister, do you have a question? A relic, you mean? Well, I hate to use the word relic because the Catholic Church has really capitalized on that. They got chips and bones, things like that, which, you know, I don't want somebody's bones in my house. But I think what you were told about is an antique. No, I don't think there's anything really wrong with antiques, although if it's someone cursed it, you've got a problem. Go ahead. Have you? Oh, yeah. You see, you could get carried away, too. Does somebody here have a question? Yes, sir, go ahead. A frog does. A raven, yeah. I would think so. Okay, I've only got time for now. You're going to have to hold your questions for tomorrow. Let's see. Today we got a new revelation. Brand new. And it came because we were delivering somebody that had a royal inheritance. What was this caused by? Well, the initial cause was there was a medieval curse, whatever it may be. This particular one was infirmity. And royal inheritance and physical and mental, these are both curses, by the way, curse of royal inheritance and a curse of physical and mental illness, were partners in crime. You see? They had divvied up this poor woman and were sharing the territory. But we found something else today. Where royal inheritance is prevalent, they're obviously someone in the occult. Now, with this other woman, not this particular woman, we found that because of the occult nature of all this, that someone, the person who prayed for this, and may I say that if you're a favorite in the family, and someone was in the occult before you, you're more prone to this danger because they want to see it go to the favorites. The grandfather, in this particular case, prayed and made a pact with Lucifer. He committed his favorite granddaughter to it. Not only did she have the curse of royal inheritance, but she had a demon spirit called the Son of Lucifer. The Son of Lucifer was in charge of the following spirits. The Son of Lucifer was in charge of death and destruction, of darkness, from when the deal came to be. I said, what exactly do you do? He says, it's easy. I just darken her mind. She can understand the scriptures. Another one called the evil presence, or the evil one. And then another spirit, which name I even forget. And I said, Son of Lucifer, who do you report to? He says, I report to the dark one himself. Guess who that was? Friends, we're not playing games here. We're here to deliver the children of God. Not even because of what they've done, but because of what their forefathers committed by their very words and the pacts, the covenants that were sealed before they ever come to be. So we need to be even more discerning as to what has us bound. Amen? Okay. You want to get free tonight? I want to see you free. And I want to see you be a testimony for the Lord. And what we're going to do today is we're going to concentrate on curses, both pronounced and those that we discussed today. You'll hear about the curses of out-of-balance teachings tomorrow. And you'll find that out-of-balance teachings produce a curse, believe it or not. Okay, now all of you don't have to say these things, but it certainly is not going to hurt, okay? We're going to renounce curses. Everyone repeat this prayer after me. Father, in Jesus' name I come to you. You're exactly my problem. You know what keeps me bound? What torments me? What afflicts me? Both in the mental and physical areas. And I wish to be set free. I renounce Satan and all his works. I am not living for him, but for you, Lord Jesus. Help me renounce all the things that I'll name. And even as I renounce them, recall things to my spirit that I've even forgotten. Or maybe I don't even know is there. What do you do? I renounce. Come on, people, name them. Name them. All right. I come against a generation curse on the family line of everyone here in Jesus' name, and I break all generation curses in Jesus' name. Every generation curse in the name of Jesus is broken. Generation curses off every family line. Get out of her in Jesus' name. Get out of Teresa and get out of this woman here. Out. Just pray with her. I appreciate that. Generation curse. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Generation curse. Get out of her. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Generation curse out of this man. Out of this man. A generation curse. Get out. Get out. Out of that woman in Jesus' name. Out of that woman in Jesus' name. Generation curse. Get out of her. Out. Get out of him. Out. I need some more lines. Out in Jesus' name. Generation curse. Move. Go. Out. Get off the wife in Jesus' name. Out. Get off the wife. Get off the family line. Get off the family line. Turn him loose. Turn him loose. Out. Generation curse. Generation curse on both sides. Generation curse on both sides. Generation curse on your maiden side. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Brother, pray with them, would you please? Thank you. I come against them. Who is the... Is there a person here who got free? I heard a testimony. They got free from a Viking spirit. Curse from the Vikings. You? Praise God. I come against the medieval curse in Jesus' name. A medieval curse placed on them in Jesus' name. Lucifer, Rosalie, this woman's got both. She's got a generation curse and she's got a medieval curse. The medieval one's a strong man. Get him out. Medieval curse out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. A medieval curse out of her in Jesus' name. Get off that woman in Jesus' name. Get out of her. Out. Medieval curse. Loose her and let her go. Loose her. Out. Medieval curse. Out. Dempsey, pray with her. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Medieval curse. Medieval curse. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. I break all curses from the Irish heritage in Jesus' name. All curses from the Irish heritage, from the Italian heritage, from the Chinese heritage, from the Japanese heritage, from the Indian heritage. I break a curse of Indian heritage out of Jesus' name. Out. Curse from the Italian heritage. Curse from the Chinese heritage. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Loose God's people and let them go. Curse of Indian heritage. Out in Jesus' name. Indian war spirit. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of Italian, Irish, Chinese, Mexican. Out in Jesus' name. English. Curse of English heritage. Curse of Wicca. Curse of Wicca. Out in Jesus' name. The curse of Wicca. Out in Jesus' name. What you got here, sister? Got anything? No? Okay. What do you got? Uh-huh. Curse of Indian heritage. Come out of her. Curse of Indian heritage. Move. Go. Out in Jesus' name. Come against the curse of the gypsies in Jesus' name. Out. Curse of the gypsies. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of the gypsies. That's it. Out. Out in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Curse of the gypsies. Out in Jesus' name. I come against a witch's curse. A witch's curse. A witch's curse in the family line. I command to be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Come against the spirit of infirmity in Jesus' name. A spirit of infirmity in Jesus' name. And I command it to turn her loose in Jesus' name. Spirit of infirmity, I command you to turn her loose in Jesus' name. I command you to turn her loose in Jesus' name. I come against the curse of witchcraft in their family lines in Jesus' name. Curse of witchcraft in the family lines. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. The curse of witchcraft. Out in Jesus' name. I come against all occult spirits in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. I come against an occult spirits and occult curses. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out. Occult spirits and curses in the family line. Get out of that woman. Get out of that woman. An occult curse. Out. Out. In Jesus' name. Get out of her in Jesus' name. Loose her and let her go. I come against voodoo. Spirit of voodoo in Jesus' name. Out. Voodoo. Spirit of rock music and voodoo, out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of voodoo and rock music, out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Water witching, or dowsing, levitation, mental telepathy, ESP, parapsychology, out in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Loose her and let her go. Loose her and let her go. ESP, telekinesis, parapsychology, out in Jesus' name. Mind control, out. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let it go. Out in Jesus' name. Out. Mental. Tea leaf reading, fortune telling, horoscopes, astrology, out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Fortune telling, tea leaf reading, horoscopes, astrology, signs of the zodiac, out. Out. Signs of the zodiac, out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Taurus, Pisces, and everybody else, out in Jesus' name. Out of Jesus' name. Loose God's people, let them go. Out in Jesus' name. Out of Jesus' name. ESP, EST, parapsychology, mental illness, mental breakdown, out. Out of Jesus' name. Loose her. I come against the curse of divorce in Jesus' name. I come against the curse of divorce in Jesus' name. The curse of divorce. Out. I come against the curse of divorce in Jesus' name. Out of Jesus. Out of Jesus' name. Get out of that woman in Jesus' name. Out. Curse of divorce. Out of her. Out of her in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Go ahead. Sister, command that thing to come out. It's got to go. Out in the name of Jesus. Curse of divorce. I come against the curse of rejection in Jesus' name. A curse of rejection. Loose God's people and let them go. Curse of rejection. Curse of rejection. You don't even know it's there. Curse. Woolie's got to pray with them. She's got a curse of rejection. Woolie's got to pray with them. Curse of rejection. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of rejection. Out. Out. Curse of rejection, out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Curse of rejection, loose him. Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus the Messiah. Out in the name of Jesus, your curse of rejection. Curse of rejection, get out. Curse of rejection, she's got it, sister. She's got it. Curse of rejection, out. Brother, would you pray with him and command that curse of rejection to come out? Curse of illegitimacy. I bind you and I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Curse of illegitimacy in the family line. I bind and rebuke you in Jesus' name. Curse of illegitimacy. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Curse of illegitimacy. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Curse of illegitimacy. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. I bind and rebuke a curse of physical and mental illness in Jesus' name. I bind the curse of physical and or mental illness in Jesus' name. Curse of physical and mental illness out in Jesus' name. Curse of poverty out. Curse of poverty out in Jesus' name. Curse of poverty out. Out. Get out of her in Jesus' name. Curse of poverty. Turn her loose. Compare with her. What you got?
Here's another thing for Avon.
Yes.
The Machiavelli Company?
Yeah.
You heard of it?
Yes.
Advertised on TV and all? Machiavelli is Italian.
Yeah.
The word warlock.
Is that right?
That's right. Italian word that means warlock.
I'll get that tomorrow.
And, knick-knack. Nick means faint and knack means dead. Knick-knack. And curios is a Greek word for the relating to a form of Messiah. Curios.
Okay. Put it right up there. I'm going to get it. Curse of darkness, get out of that man back there in Jesus' name. Curse of darkness.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.